We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
From Illinois Public Media, this is Focus on AM 580 and online at will.illinois.edu. Good morning, I'm Celeste Quinn. Jason Croft is our technical director. First Friday of the month, it's the day we talk about dogs with dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Jim raises Malamutes. Carol has a golden and a doodle. Listeners, if you have questions about dog training or behavior, or you have a story to share about living with our best friends, give us a call.
I would love that.
Send us an email message. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Toll free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Good morning. Welcome back. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Hello.
Hello.
And it's April Fool's Day, so no jokes today because I can't deal with that.
Okay.
They get me every time.
Well, there go the first 10 pages of my script.
Okay. Well, scratch that. Well, what do you say we talk about Canine Health Day? That's tomorrow, April 2nd.
Yeah. Jim, why don't you address that since you're closely involved?
Tomorrow is Canine Health Day at the club, and the club is located on Harrison Ford Road.
Ford Harris Road,
about a quarter mile east of Route 45 as you go toward Rantoul. And we're calling it Health Day because we're going to have several veterinarians and dog experts at the building between 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We're going to have a surf, a doctor that does surf, which is eye certifications. We're going to have a heart specialist. We're going to have an acupuncturist / chiropractor for dogs or cats or horses for that matter.
That's
I think
right.
She does horses too. Microchipping, that's where you put a little little chip in your dog for identification purposes, and vaccinations. Now, these are routine vaccinations. Veterinarian's going to give those. And I think we're going to have informational booths from various local organizations, at least we did last year.
I don't think that emphasis is going to be as great
okay,
this year.
Okay, yeah. Robin's in charge of that. Now, for the eye clinic and the heart clinic, you have to have a reservation because there's a lot of equipment to set up and we don't want lines out the door. So in order to get a reservation for either the eye clinic or the heart clinic, you should call Robin at 359, which is a very old exchange around here.
I didn't know that.
Yes, 359-8180. And if I can repeat that, 359-8180, 8180. Now, for the chiropractor, you don't necessarily have to call, but it's recommended because there are some appointments scheduled throughout the day. And if you don't get a scheduled time, you might have to wait for a while. And, of course, waiting for a while wouldn't be that bad because there would be wonderful people such as ourselves there.
All the dog people will be there. Everybody loves
it. Was fairly successful. We did this last year. This is
very successful.
Second time we're doing it, and it was very successful. So come bring your dog. And by the way, cats are welcome too for the inoculations, for the microchipping. I suspect even for the acupuncture and.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Chiropractic. So bring
Butch,
your pets.
If you're listening, don't worry. We're not going.
He would love acupuncture, chiropractic. Yeah.
I know, but I don't know that he'd be wild about all the dogs.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah, if you do bring a cat, be aware that there's going to be a lot
of dogs
there.
Make sure you put your cat in a carrier.
In a carrier, right. Yeah. Not on a lead.
And there would be, there'll be fees for these services.
That's correct. Yeah. I should have mentioned that. The SURF or the eye clinic is $25. The heart exam is $30. And I don't know what the other stuff is. It's not on my little...
I think Linda's fees would probably vary on the length of time. What's attractive about these clinics, number one, we're bringing in a cardiologist from Purdue. We're bringing in one of the ophthalmologists from the University of Illinois Veterinary School. And these services are provided at substantially lower cost than you would pay if you went independently. And it's not... These are usually, you find them, these health clinics, in conjunction with dog shows throughout the area. There's very few, I believe, maybe we're the only one that does one just independently. Mm. The vaccinations are less expensive. Microchipping, it's not the expense factor so much, but you're still bringing in very talented, qualified people to perform these tests that people should have done on their dogs.
And you can see a number of specialists in one place at one time.
Mm, you get the eyes done and the heart done. Those are, the heart is for, they're looking for abnormalities within the heart. And so people with dogs that they want to use in their breeding program, you want to make certain that your dog is genetically free of some of these defects that can occur. It's a very common thing that people go through when they have show dogs, performance dogs, and household pets. You know, there's no reason not to overlook your household pet for some of
right.
these problems.
Right. You want your animal, mm-hmm. your buddy to be healthy and
exactly.
live a long, good life.
So it includes everyone that would be interested in.
Okay.
And I can't tell you how much less expensive it is to do it this way.
Okay. And that's from 9 a.m. tomorrow until 3 p.m. And to make appointments to see the eye specialist, the heart specialist, and perhaps the chiropractor, give Robin a call at 359-8180, 359-8180. And no doubt this information's up on the club's mm-hmm. website.
Yes. I think it is.
It is.
But you want to contact Robin.
We may not have changed the contact information on
that
because I didn't know that.
If Merle myself. And Carolyn are still on the web page, don't call them. They had a family emergency, and Robin has taken over. So I even had to modify my little handout here. Robin at 359-8180. I feel like we're doing a
telethon
for National Public Radio.
Well, and you're giving out
the
your number.
The number is 359-8180. That's 359-8180. And how are you today, 359-8180?
Well, you know, it's amazing to me. I had acupuncture and chiropractic alignment and done with one of my dogs. And it works. So there may be skeptics out there, but dogs don't lie.
And
Well.
Most Malamutes lie all the time.
But it's true. I mean, he felt so much better after acupuncture. And they're so good. They're just, you know, it doesn't hurt for one thing. It may be a little sensitive, but he would lay there for however many minutes, half an hour perhaps, with his needles in the critical spots. And
you do want to have a professional do this. I tried to do it with a staple gun on a dog once, and it made things worse.
But that, you know, it does work. So
it
if
is
your dog
April 1st.
Oh, that's right. If your dog is, you know, limping or something, of course you should have seen your vet. But if it's due to perhaps arthritis or for whatever reason your dog's not feeling like it used to, it's always good to explore chiropractic opportunities.
Mm-hmm. And
even though I don't go to one.
We had a dog a while ago, and he's a very good show dog and a good sled dog, et cetera. And he stepped on a rock once, and it threw his toe, I think a couple toes out of joint. And the chiropractor was able to pop them back in. They kept coming out after that, so we'd have to visit her several times a year. But he went from limping to not limping. Mm-hmm. So we were happy.
See, dogs don't lie.
This is Focus, and our guests this morning are dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. We're talking about dogs this morning in this hour of Focus. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can join us with questions, comments. Join us with a phone call or by email. We'd love to hear from you. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. Toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Well, we're getting into spring weather. Mm-hmm. And springtime, and I know this makes Carol very happy.
Oh, ecstatic.
Yeah. And I'm wondering at this time of the year and in the early summer, if this is a time of year when people are more likely to think about adopting a dog, mm-hmm. bringing home a puppy.
I think so. I think a lot of people, you know, adopting a dog in wintertime is fabulous. We had the worst winter, I think, on the planet.
No one could get there.
Oh, that's true. But purchasing a dog or adopting a dog, winter poses its own challenges. And I think people like the idea of waiting until we have nice weather. They can spend more time with their pet that they've chosen several months before we start to have fall and winter again. So, no, I've had dogs in the middle of winter, and it's not been an issue for me. But for some, I can see where it would be difficult.
Okay. Let's take a call now. This is a listener in Champaign waiting for us on line one. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
You want me to go ahead? And
yeah, go ahead. What can we do for you?
Well, I have an anecdotal comment to make about these microchips implantations on animals. I had heard that cats particularly would develop neoplastic conditions in the immediate neighborhood, that is, tumors in the immediate neighborhood of the implant. But having gone through the trauma of losing our beloved, now defunct cat, temporarily, we went ahead and had one of those microchips implanted just around the cervical area. The little cat died of a tumor at the base of his skull in the immediate neighborhood of the implant. So I don't know if you people know more about this or if there are any comments you'd like to make, but that's the anecdote.
Okay, well, thanks for the question. I think that's a good question.
It is a good question. I, frankly, have had have not heard anything about a microchip causing a tumor. I have heard it in relationship to vaccinations being delivered in that area. Jim?
Well, you know, I don't know. We've had approximately, over the years, I was trying to count them up, maybe 50 dogs with chips. And, in fact, I'm taking 5 in tomorrow myself. And we've never had any trouble. I've heard of problems, but not with causing tumors.
They were migratory problems.
They drift, mm-hmm. and especially in a smaller animal like a cat, that can be a problem. Other things are weed seeds can get into mm-hmm. The skin of a dog or cat. And the weed seeds are, you know, they're just made to dig into the ground, so going through skin is no challenge for them. And I've heard of weed seeds going through a dog. Mm-hmm. And in a similar manner, I've heard of the chips. And actually, they look like a tablet or mm-hmm. Like a Contac or what do they call
Green
it?
Green rice.
A gelatin capsule or something. Mm-hmm. They don't look like a chip.
They're about the size of a grain of rice.
They're, I think, a little bigger.
Maybe a little bigger.
They're not. And I've heard of them traveling.
I think, though, if I'm not mistaken, that was fairly, not fairly common. It wasn't uncommon for that to occur years ago. But I think now they've perfected it that they so they stay where they're supposed to be.
And we're having a veterinarian implanted. Yeah. It's not, I'm not going to do it with my staple gun.
But I know that when dogs come into shelters or their or animal control, they tend to scan not just where the chip should be, but the both sides of the body and the whole length of the back in the event that it's traveled. But I'm sorry to hear that story about your cat. That was very tragic. But
well, yeah, I think that anecdotal evidence is not valid. So I think somebody should raise awareness about these things and perhaps get some kind of a national study, because the evidence is out there, whether negative or positive. But just anecdotal comments cannot be considered totally valid. Anyway, that's it. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Is there a particular age when animals are recommended to be chipped?
I don't
know. I know that when puppies and kittens are adopted from shelters, they're usually chipped at that point in time. It stays with them for their lifetime.
6 months old. I don't know.
I don't know either. Mine are chipped.
After 6 months, they're still growing, but not at the rate they were growing before.
Mm-hmm. But it's hard to encounter someone that hasn't had their dog chipped. Cats are a little different story, but just about everybody gets their dog microchipped.
And believe me, it's one heck of a lot easier to chip them than we used to tattoo them.
Yeah.
And we tattooed them on the inside of their leg. And if you've ever had a tattoo on the inside of your leg, well, then you know how uncomfortable that can be. So it would take the tattoo artist and 6 or 7 other people to hold on to the dog. And it was frightening. It didn't hurt the dog any more than any other tattoo, I suppose. And then there are the dogs that wanted a picture of their mother and that kind of stuff. No, just a number. Sorry.
But, yeah, chipping has been how many years now? 15, 20? 15?
My memory fades after about 3 weeks, so I don't know.
Well, but I suppose it's you weigh the risk, and I think for me it's a very acceptable risk, and also for vaccinations you weigh the risk, but that's also very acceptable to me personally. The benefit outweighs any kind of side effect that might develop.
If it can get the animal reunited with the owner, provided the owner is amenable to that, because sometimes that comes into play, but it's worth so much. And it's worth so much peace of mind to the owner, because my dogs don't wear collars in the house. They just don't. And the only time they wear them is when we're walking, and they've got ID on there, but I always know that they're microchipped, so...
This is Focus. We're talking this morning about dogs with dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, I invite you to join us this morning with questions, comments, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, toll-free 800-222-9455. And our email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Okay, so let's say it's springtime and we're thinking now's the time to do what we've been dreaming about all winter, and that's to get a puppy, a kitten, a dog. When you start to think about bringing home an animal, you want to think, what's suitable, right? What would be a good match? What kind of advice do you have for folks in terms of making, making a good match?
Do your research first. Now, assuming if you've been waiting for the winter to pass, you've been doing that. Mm-hmm. And do your research first and make certain that all family members buy into this, because it's a family shared responsibility to have a pet. It's not to fall on one person's shoulders, and certainly not to fall on the shoulders of the children to take care of the pet either. I always found that to be kind of unreasonable expectation on parents' part. I can't remember which site it is. There's several out there, but they have a color coding system. If you look at their adoptable dogs and they're color coded, and if you look at the key, the color code will coordinate with your family's activity level, your family's whether they've like long-haired or short-haired dogs. And it's really very – and I can't remember who developed that. But I remember when that was first brought out.
I saw that in a book, and I can't remember the name
yeah.
of the book.
See, we're not good at remembering anything today,
yeah.
are we?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's keys out there that, let, you know, this is what you can answer. I think it's one of the or probably more than that, pet food sites, and you can put in your preferences, mm-hmm. and they'll come back to you with the breeds that are most suited to what you've indicated you expect. And I find that good because I always get Golden Retriever on there. Always. But those
I get Frenchies
do you,
for some reason.
You, well, you might have one in your future. But those are ways that you can help determine. But I still would expect that there's an impulse factor out there that's pretty darn high, even though you've researched and you know what mm-hmm. you want. But if you go to a shelter and you see a puppy that might turn out to be an 80-pound lab and you were hoping for something around 30 pounds, you'll still love that dog no matter what. So sometimes it's like buying a car. Maybe the car that you've chosen isn't really the car for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you limit your search and you want to get a pet and then widen your search because there's so many beautiful animals out there that might have long hair when you want it short and you're just going to accept that.
Yeah. I would think, though, you'd want to – one of the things you'd really want to pay attention to is how active the mm-hmm. animal is going to be. I mean, a sporting breed is going to be much more active, right? Or
and I'm not as active
breed.
As I used to be, that's for sure.
Yeah,
but.
So you want to match activity level,
right?
I think. And maybe also, if you can, temperament, personality?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, because the breeds have different – I like personality, temperament, you know, that's a factor. But a dog that's fun-loving and cheerful and as opposed to one that's kind of methodical, and it just depends on your family's makeup. But – maybe it's
a non-smoker would probably
non-smoking dog. Yeah. But maybe it's, you know, too Pollyanna-ish or too utopian to think that, you know, you're going to choose a dog that's going to be with you for 15 years, if you're lucky, 15 years. So it's not a light decision to be made. But whatever you end up bringing home is certainly going to be a wonderful asset to the family and one that you'll love dearly for that many years.
Yeah. When it comes to personality and temperament, Jim, how do you and Robin judge the males, the Malamutes?
We actually do a temperament test at 7 weeks, the 49th day. And I think that's because that's the day that the puppy's nervous system is fully hooked up. So they haven't had a chance to learn bad behavior quite yet, or any behavior for that matter, that isn't already hardwired. But that's just a theory. This test was developed by I forget who.
Skinner.
No. He only worked with rats and babies.
Oh, what a combination.
Well, his daughter. But that's for another day. No, some Newfoundland people out in Oregon or someplace. Anyway, it's a series of about 10 tests to see if first of all, if the dog is deaf and get an idea of what its temperament is. For example, one of the tests is to hold the dog on its back for 30 seconds and see what the dog does. And universally, Malamutes don't do anything. In fact, another test is you hold them up in the air for 30 seconds. And we've never had a Malamute so much as whimper. Robin tested a litter of terriers once, and every one of them tried to bite her when she picked them up and held them. So just there's an example of a difference in temperament of dogs. Anyway, we do that test, and the scale that you grade them on is actually a submissive dominance scale. So if they do this, you give them a 4, and that's toward mm-hmm. the dominance. And if they don't, it's 1, and it's toward the submissive. In terms of whether really goes in a long way in our decisions of what dogs to keep and what dogs to place. There are two tests in particular. One is the retrieve, where you kind of take either a puppy toy or a wad of paper and you mm-hmm. throw it a few feet. And if the puppy goes out, picks it up, and brings it back to the the tester. The tester, by the way, is a total stranger to the puppy. They've never seen him before in their life. If they don't do that, I think Guide Dogs for the Blind or somebody developed that test. And if they don't go out, pick it up, and bring it back, they're out of the program at 7 weeks old. And their experience is that a dog that won't do that won't work well for a handler. Also, the dogs that do bring it back turn out to be a little better obedience dogs. And the other thing is, the other test that I put a lot of stock in is after you held the puppy down for 30 seconds, the next thing you do is let it up and start petting it. And you watch the puppy. And if the puppy says, well, you just did something horrible to me, but I think you're okay anyway, and they start to lick and cuddle, that's a forgiving dog. A lot of puppies, after you've held them on their backs and you let them up, they say, see you later, Jack, and they're gone. So that's not a forgiving puppy. And it's very important in obedience training that you have a forgiving dog. So that's what we do.
Okay. Let's take a call. This is a listener on a cell phone. Line one, good morning. You're on Focus. Hi.
Good morning, and thank you for the show. I have a 12-week-old Golden. She's 12 weeks old today. And we're having issues with potting. It seems like she wants to go out every hour or 45 minutes. It just seems like, you know, you sit down and then, you know, a minute later she's wanting to go outside again. She walks to the door. And I'm wondering how often should a 12-week-old puppy have to go outside and relieve herself?
Well, I think she likes to go outside because it's fun. Do you go out with her?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay, so every 45 minutes or an hour she's relieving herself? She's urinating?
Yes. Well, she squats, let's just say that. I don't know if she's doing it every time.
Well, if she squats, she's probably...
She wants, you know, like her opportunity to grab a stick or an acorn or something, you mm-hmm. know. And I give her praise, of course, but I don't know whether she's going every time.
How many people?
If she's just pulling my chain, or I mean, I don't let her play. I say no. We're going outside. We're going to potty, and if she acts like she's going to grab a stick or something, we just go right back in. So I don't.
Well, why don't you let her play outside?
Well, because she's supposed to be going potty. But we have playtime. We have a time, and I tell her, well, we're going out. We're going to play now, and she gets to run loose in the yard, and you know, we have times for that, and then a time to walk.
Yeah, I think at 12 weeks, those expectations are a little high for her to discern between potty time, play time, walk time. I think that's asking a lot of her right now. If she's urinating every time, then she's doing what you want.
I don't know if she's doing it.
Okay.
I don't know if she, you know, we have a lot of leaves and such, you know, in the yard. And so I don't know whether she's leaving a wet spot there or she's just... She's just squatting because she knows she gets to go out. You know, she gets praised for doing that.
Yeah.
Or would, someone said, no, they don't do that. They squat because they're going to the bathroom or...
Yeah, if she's squatting, then... And she very well could have one. So my recommendation for you would be to go to your vet to determine whether or not she's got one. They'll ask you to bring in a urine specimen. But I think if she's letting you know every 45 minutes that she's got to go out and urinate, you've done a fine job of house training her.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say there are 100,000 listeners going, I wish my dog would let me know when they have to
but
go out.
You just want to rule out a puppy UTI, urinary tract infection. And other than that, I think you've done a fine job housebreaking her. I think that Goldens love to play. And going outside to... do whatever she's supposed to do. For her, that's a diversion and an opportunity to play. So I would go kind of easy on the playtime, potty time, sternness, and kind of mix the two together, but find out if she's got a UTI first.
Is your backyard fenced?
Okay, what about someone suggested maybe if she does have a UTI, to give her a little bit of cranberry powder?
But, you know... That can work, but I think I would prefer that you go to a veterinarian and make certain, because she'll have to have antibiotics to get rid of the current infection. Cranberry juice and powder and pills is used to prevent them from recurring or to keep everything in balance. And then again, that would be best addressed by your veterinarian.
Okay. So you don't think going out every hour is too much for a puppy then? Because she can go. I mean, she can go. You know, we work during the day, so we don't get home for about 4 hours or maybe even five sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's good. You know, she's got a dry kennel when we come home.
Mm-hmm.
So we know she can hold it, but it's just like when we get home, it seems like, well, I have to go every hour now instead of every, you know, holding it 4 hours.
So what do you do with her from the time when she's in the house and not going outside? Where, is she playing or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We play with her and we'll, you know, we'll let her loose. But then when she has to, you know, when she has to potty, she's very good about going to the, heading toward the door. And we're like, well, she's got to go potty. So, you know, we put her on the lead and let her out and
go. Is your yard fenced?
No.
Okay.
No, we can't let her run loose.
No, I wasn't saying that.
Oh.
But then, yeah.
It would be good if you could let her had a fenced yard and you could let her out without going out with her. And say, okay, you know, go out and time it, say, 5 minutes and then call her in so
right.
that she starts to understand the difference between going out and playing and going out and pottying.
Right. I mean, we take her first. She gets a walk, a good walk in the morning and a good walk in the evening. And then before we go inside from her walk, we kind of let her run loose in the yard, even though, you know, it's not fenced, but still it's sort of a rule. Area. I mean, not real rural, but I mean, there are houses that are real, real close. So she's got, you know, an acre or so to run, and we let her do that in the backyard, run up and down the hillsides. But we were just kind of, we're confused about her being able to hold herself for
when you walk her. When you're walking her, does she stop to urinate frequently?
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
No, she doesn't. She'll. So kind of pull, I go, okay, you got a potty, and no, she's, you know, doesn't ever really do that. She'll, put out some doggy logs, you know, once in a while, but not normally. But no, she doesn't do that.
Well, I think she just likes to go outside with you. I'm
okay.
Serious. You know, I still wouldn't rule out the possibility of a UTI, but Goldens are... It can be quite needy, and they like to be with their people. And
right.
If her going to the door...
She's with us all of the time, even inside. I mean, she's in the same room with us.
Sure.
And, like I said, we let her out, and she walks around us as we, you know, do our other things. But it just seems like, you know, why we're questioning why she can't seem to hold it for an hour when we're gone at work. She holds it for 4 hours.
Because you're home. It's that simple.
Well, and when you come home, she's up and active and is probably drinking. When you are at work,
right.
She's almost certainly sleeping most of the time. And therefore she's not drinking. And you could try little things like if she goes to the door, praise her, but don't go out with her. And you have to remember, a 12-week-old puppy has only been on the planet for 12 weeks.
Right.
Wow, that's an astonishing
yes, yes.
fact.
If you had a human baby that was 12 weeks old...
Well, that's true.
You know, you wouldn't ascribe all these motives or anything to the human because they're just not old enough. And a dog is not nearly as smart as a human. And so I don't think she's being deceitful or anything. She just likes to go outside.
She's a baby.
She's a baby. So, and then I'm a big softy, okay, just so you know that. But I would always temper some playtime with potty time because she doesn't understand that your motive for letting her out at times is strictly for elimination and then back in. She doesn't understand that. So just, you know, extend it by a couple of minutes, throw a tennis ball for her, give her some activity, and then come back in.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome. Sounds like a great dog.
It
smart
does.
Dog. Smart dog.
Smart dog.
There's your Goldens for you. They're smart. When Robbie learned to ring that bell on the door, and it was so exciting, and he'd do it all the time, and I didn't care because I taught him to do it. And I thought, well, now I have to live with this, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Our dogs tweet when they have to go out, so...
But that was okay with me, you know, and he always got a cookie when he goes out. Well, he still does. Yeah. They get a cookie when they go out the door, and they spin around and get their cookies, and off they go. And
are some dogs, I would imagine this is true, they're more receptive to training to eliminate outside? Are they for housebreaking?
I've never had a problem. I haven't had as many dogs as Jim. I've only heard of really small toy breeds sometimes are a little more difficult to house train, and I think that maybe because their amount of elimination is barely discernible, and they have tiny little bladders, so they have to go more frequently, and I think people sometimes don't take that in consideration. Because a puppy, everybody knows that they have to go out often. When you have a smaller, let's talk about Yorkshire Terriers, because
life is merrier with a Yorkshire Terrier.
Yeah, that's right. Cairn Terrier.
Yorkshire.
So anyway, even as these dogs mature, they still have tiny little bladders, and they need to be relieved more frequently than, say, a Golden or a Malamute. So some breeds,
or an adult.
And I think it depends, too, on the diligence, the patience, the perseverance that the owner puts into it. And then there's the ugly thing that house training issues are so easy, but people still think it's okay to punish them for peeing in the house or pooping in the house. And that is so wrong, because then you've created a whole different conundrum of problems.
Yeah. So, well, I can remember the couple of dogs that we had growing up. They were really good, and they were really smart, and they'd come and put their nose in your face, or
yeah,
they'd go to the door and stand or sit and was like, okay, all right.
Mine ring the bells.
I gotcha. Let's go. Let's take another call. This is a listener in Champaign on line one. Good morning. You're on Focus. Hi.
Hello. We have this dog who will not go on a leash. No matter how long the walk, whatever, he will not go on the leash. Come home, take it off, come in the house, immediately goes to the door, goes out, takes care of his business, comes back in. Well, I mean, we think that's kind of funny, but when we have to go, when we're away and he has to be boarded, well, they don't appreciate that.
I'd find another place to board him.
Okay. That's kind of
seriously.
What? The dog pooped in the kennel run? How horrible.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, but it's just, as I said, you know, maybe we should stop thinking it's funny, but, you know, it doesn't seem to hurt anything.
If I may suggest, and this comes straight from Rogerson, straight from his mouth. No, it wasn't. It was somebody else. I'll think of it. But in any event.
He's rambling.
Here's what you do. You feed the dog. If you don't normally feed them just before you take them out, you get them. So you get that those peristaltic waves going. You walk out. You're still in your yard. And you just stand there until the dog potties. Now, it may take an hour, I don't know. But the dog isn't pottying because and this is a guess, obviously. You walk the dog until he poops, and then you go back home. And the dog
he's pooping at home once she gets back.
Exactly.
Home.
The dog says,
we're not going
if
back
I poop,
home
if I poop,
until, yeah, yeah.
If I poop, I have to go back home, right. I'm not going to poop.
Did you make that fatal mistake with your dog of taking him home after he pooped on a walk?
Oh, no, I mean, no other dog has ever done that. He just, even if it's bad or something, maybe we don't go for a walk, he just goes out and comes. But just when we're out walking, he just doesn't go. All the other dogs do.
So how old is he when you got him?
A puppy. Maybe. Mm-hmm. 9 weeks old or something like that.
No, see, I know some friends of mine that don't want their dogs to potty on walks. They want them to potty before they go because they try to be good neighbors. It's kind of hard to do that, but I know that they've been successful. But the point is... Yeah, if he has...
The dog has learned that when he goes, his walk ends. That's it. So what you have to teach him is when he goes...
But that's not what takes place.
See, you were not listening to her, Jim. She said, she never said that when he pooped, she immediately made a beeline toward home. When she gets home, even if they walk forever, then he'll poop in the yard.
I mean, he comes in the house, take off the leash.
Did I say you're not listening to her?
He just seems, whatever the circumstance, he will not go until you remove the leash.
Does he potty? Does he pee?
Yes.
So it's just elimination.
No. Okay. I mean, he does all of his business, and we just say he likes privacy. So he.
It could be. Who knows? And
okay, well, I just wondered if there.
If you walk him at different times, you get this response no matter what time of the day you walk.
That's right.
Now find a new place to board him.
Okay, good idea. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call this morning. This is Focus. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana are with us this morning. They join us in the 11 o'clock hour of Focus on the first Friday of the month. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, join us with questions, comments, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, toll-free 800-222-9455. The email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. And I think we've got about 10 minutes left in this portion of the program.
You know, I'm still sitting here thinking about that. What if he had like a negative experience that she doesn't know about when he potty on a walk? Like, what if he got stung by a bee, or what if he stepped on something that hurt him that would cause him to have negative feelings about eliminating on a walk?
What if he learned that when he poops, his
walk is over?
His walk is over.
Because she didn't say that.
Yeah. Well, she said she didn't knowingly teach the dog that, but
yeah,
that's clearly what the dog has learned.
Well,
and,
okay.
And
it
also
I'm not conceding altogether, but
it also explains why when he gets home, he poops, because he's had to poop the whole way, but he didn't want to artificially end his.
See, now when I walk, everybody does things differently. I have a 1, 2, and 3 mile route. And if, you know, it depends on the weather and blah, but I carry potty bags with me because I know they're going to, but we don't ever end our walk. We just, because I choose these routes because I'm incredibly anal about stuff like this. Oh, I guess I shouldn't use
well,
that.
Well, I was going
but
to
I'll make that whole circuit so by the time they come home, all they want is just to have some water and lay down. They're happy. They're content. But everybody's circumstance is different.
We've had over the years a couple dogs that when you go to a dog show,
they won't go.
They won't go. They won't go the entire weekend from
right.
Friday night till Sunday night, and it can be a problem just as going too much is. And where he learned that, I don't know.
Remember when
but somehow we taught him that on the road you don't poop. But this is from dog show lore. People who have dogs that won't poop or won't poop quickly.
Are you going to bring up matches?
I'm going to bring up matches.
Oh, God.
Now, they can't be wooden matches. They have to be cardboard matches. And you don't light them. But speaking of anal, you put the match, not head first.
And I've done this, too. But
in the anus. And the theory is it starts the squeezing process that
that's why you'll see.
That's why you see if you go to a dog show and somebody is careless and not cleaning up after themselves, you see a lot of piles with matches sticking out of them.
Yeah, it's
I thought that was going to be a dog's name.
Piles?
Your matches. Your matches.
No.
Well, you have you know somebody who took their dog to New York City.
Yeah, I was trying to bring that up, but he wouldn't stop talking long enough. When Lisa took
what do you mean I wouldn't stop talking
Sam
long
or
enough?
Sam, I think Sam, he was on the Today Show, and there's no grass.
So was Lisa.
Yes, Sam and Lisa. But there was no grass. And he didn't know to eliminate on concrete.
A tree grows
and
in Brooklyn.
Did she finally, when they got to the airport, this is after a couple of days.
Well,
she'll call in.
I thought she put herself and the dog in a cab and they went to a park.
They did.
Yeah.
That's exactly. They found grass somewhere. So, but he hadn't peed in a couple of days. Because, you know, dogs, hey.
So maybe this dog, the caller's dog, maybe just likes his own backyard.
That very well could be.
Dorothy found that out.
I wish she'd call back.
Okay. Well, let's take another call because we're coming down on time. This is a listener in Ottawa, line 4. Hi.
Hi. I have a question about dogs' drinking habits while walking. In the summertime, I walk these dogs, and I have a backpack, and I carry a half-a-gallon jug with, you know, chilled water in it and a cottage cheese container because it's hot and they're thirsty. But, you know, in the seasons this time of year on the I&M Canal up here, there'll be puddles or there's the Fox River or parts of the canal with water, and they seem to drink the water, and I just, Is it okay for them to be drinking these, you know, external environment sources of water?
I wish they wouldn't.
I wish they wouldn't do that.
I don't know how you stop them.
I had an incident a few weeks ago, and the dogs were racing around the yard. I don't think it happened before the last show. And anyway, Andy leaped over one corner of the pond, as did Robbie, but Robbie fell into the pond and went under, and he got I didn't know it until I saw him shaking it off, but he swallowed water from the pond, which is not like running water. It's just been there. And he was sick all night long.
Stagnant,
yeah. He had massive diarrhea from the water, and he was a real good boy about it. I mean, I didn't get much sleep, but that's okay. He was more important. And then he ate all the plants in the kitchen because he had upset tummy. I would rather they – it's hard to avoid it, but
– I definitely don't there's parts, you know, of the canal where the water's definitely stagnant. And I try to get him to avoid that. Walking west of town, take the leashes off. There's no cars. It's around the middle of nowhere, really. And they you know, leap for the tennis ball into the water. And Labrador dogs, they are drawn to water, as you well know. And it seems like they can't get in the water with wild one to drink it. It seems like they're happiest when they're standing in the water and drinking it.
No. Yeah, some dogs, it's like being exposed to parasites and bacteria. They build up a tolerance for things. I suppose, I don't know, if a person had to drink out of a stagnant pool of water.
I would never let them drink out of a stagnant. There's flowing water.
Yeah,
that
helps.
I got another question.
One more thing.
It's real quick. It's about worms. A friend
Yum.
Thinks his dog gets worms from eating mice. Catching mice and eating them, and I thought that the worms evolved around the from fecal other dogs consuming other dogs' fecal matter.
It depends on what kind of worm.
I'd worry more about leptospirosis from eating mice than I would worms.
What's that?
It's a disease that dogs get from rodents and rodent feces and
urine.
Is it fatal?
It's transmitted by urine. It's even dog urine.
Okay, I'll let you go. Thank you.
You are welcome.
Thanks.
Oh, and by the way, you can get collapsible water things for the dog to drink out of. He has a cottage cheese container.
Yeah, I thought he said he put a half gallon of water in a cottage cheese container. I never saw one that big.
Well, he's got the half gallon of water and the cottage cheese
container. It's April Fool's Day today.
You can get collapsible drinking things. Yeah. The other thing is I would never, not only stagnant water, but never let a dog drink in a parking lot.
Oh no!
Antifreeze is really
motor
toxic.
Motor oil and all that other stuff that drips out of our cars.
Motor oil tastes terrible. Antifreeze tastes great, and the dog will just keep.
And that's deadly.
It up.
I don't know why they make it. Why don't they make it so it tastes terrible? Why do they make it so it tastes good to a dog that's insane?
Well, we had an incident years ago, and so we use the non-toxic antifreeze now, but. You never know if you're at a dog show. It's rained and there's puddles. I just don't let them drink that.
The condition that you mentioned that dogs can pick up from rodents or
leptospirosis,
or from one another if they become infected. How serious a condition is that? And
pretty
how is
serious.
It
oh yeah, it's very bad.
It used to be in part. I think they eliminated it for a while. The 5-way vaccine, DHL PP. And I think they eliminated the leptospirosis because there wasn't any around, and now it's back.
Yeah, the L's, THLPPs, the L is for lepto.
We've got a couple of callers here. Let's see if we can get them both in. Line 4, Sullivan first. Hi.
Yes, what can you spray on your property to keep dogs from urinating and defecating?
There's a thing called liquid fence.
Liquid what?
Liquid fence. I think you can get it at Farm and Fleet.
Yeah, garden center.
Any garden center, they have sprays for that. Now, that won't keep them from urinating if they get on your property, but it'll keep them off the property.
It smells really bad, and to you, too.
Oh, that's great.
Well, good luck with that, and let's take one more call here this morning before we're out of time. McLean County, line 1, hi.
Good morning, and so thank you very, very much. Quick question. My dog bowl is also used by the birds. Like, you know, the blackbirds and...
No, I would not. I would not encourage that.
I mean, I don't encourage it. How do I keep it from happening?
The dog bowl of water that's outside?
Yeah.
Just keep an eye on it. Keep it changing it frequently. Yeah. There's a blasto...
and histo.
Histo...
Histoplasmosis.
These are fungal infections that you can get from birds. And, yeah, I know we have the same problem. The birds keep flying in and maybe get a hawk or something to kill them. But we frequently change the water, and that's about all you can do.
Frequently meaning 3-4 times a day?
Yeah.
Okay, the problem is when I'm gone all day. You know, that's where I really worry about it. Otherwise, I try to get him to drink in the house.
Well, good for you to worry about that because it's something that you need to pay attention to.
Okay.
And I don't have any. Do they make covered dishes so the dog can just put his head in there?
Yeah, there are those kinds of things, but yeah. I don't know if they'll keep birds out.
Yeah, because they actually bathe in it, too. They do. I've seen them, and there's nothing I can do to get rid of them.
Set up a bird bath away from where the water is.
Thank you, because we do put a bird bath, but when it's freezing, it doesn't help, you know? So then they find it because this has that electric thing. Unfrozen.
Yeah. They do have electric things for bird baths, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
right.
That's an
idea. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. And that wraps it up for April.
And May 1st, we'll walk. Oh, no, like the end
it's
of May.
It's May 6th.
May 6th. There'll be beautiful flowers everywhere. April showers bring May flowers.
The lusty month of May.
Okay. So we'll see you in May, on May 6th,
yes.
Friday, in the 11 o'clock hour of Focus.
We'll be here.
Okay.
359-8180.
That's for tomorrow's health clinic.
Correct.
At the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. For more information, check that out on the Dog Training Club's website. And again, the number to make reservations or appointments for the eye appointment, the heart appointment, and probably if you're interested in chiropractic for your animal, 359-8180. Thanks.
Thank you.